So welcome, everybody, and welcome to the next money interview of Unlock Your Life, the weekly podcast, where over the next period and the previous periods, I have been interviewing people that are in the place of financial harmony that we are all looking for. And today I'm going to interview Mike Watts. And Mike Watts is married to Kate Northrup, and both of these are business mentors for a part of my business. And they really have found the place of money harmony that I know many people are looking for. And the thing we're talking about is how to create harmony around money and business. Most people get stuck somewhere in that business building and creating life thing where it feels like you cannot have both at the same time. And I know that Mike has been in that place, so we're going to ask him a lot of questions on what it is that he actually did to get to where you are now. And the first question I would like to ask you, Mike, is what was the specific incident that started you on this journey?
For creating money harmony?
Yeah.
What? So just so I clarify, what is your definition of money harmony?
Well, for me, money harmony is that you feel free around money because you know enough is going to come in. And but not just you know that enough is coming in, but you also feel relaxed about that and don't lie awake about it. Because I know that a lot of millionaires don't have money harmony.
Yeah. Yeah. When I get to that place, I'll let you know. And I can explain that, what that response is. Okay, so back to your original question was about what started me down this journey. Yeah. So I basically, one of the most, the biggest things that Kate and I have worked with when we work with our clients or work with our team on this is really finding out where we started in general, because your money story is much different than my money story. So I had to get clear on what my money story actually was. And that took place about 2012. So it was about 5 years ago, truthfully. And I remember I ended up, I just like felt so stressed out all the time. And when I really look back, so I'll back up a little bit to look at my childhood situation and then take it in a more present day moment. But I think it really, we are influenced by our parents. Like it just, frankly, it is, whether it's good, sometimes it's bad. And it really puts, and it really helps to get perspective on where I was at that moment in time. So I'm listening to Kevin Hart, the comedian's new audiobook that just launched, and like his upbringing, I went home and I'm only like, you know, 5 or 6 chapters into the audiobook and they're pretty short, but I went home to Kate. I said, I can never complain about anything ever again. Like, no way. Like, I am a white dude that grew up in Indiana who always had food on the table, who lived in a 2,500, 3,000 square foot home with a brother and sister. We were able to get everything we wanted, you know, and of course there was hard times and challenges and stuff along the way, but I was like, there's no way I can ever complain about anything ever, ever again. Like Kevin Hart's dad had 11 kids with 6 different women. Like, so it really put me back in perspective. Was, and I think it's really helpful to get some slap in the face sometimes when it comes to what your perspective is, because we're like complaining about organic blueberries here in Portland, Maine right now are $5 a pint. You know, it's like, oh, ooh, organic blueberries, right?
Absolutely. So
when it comes to my money harmony, and that's where, that's what helps for me with the whole situation in itself. It's like putting it in perspective for myself. So my mom was a saver and she still is to this day. And I think she ended up becoming a saver because my dad was the opposite. My dad was a spender. My dad never kept records of anything. So I used to watch this a lot when I was a kid, and there was a lot of money dynamics that would take place. And those money dynamics were a lot of fighting. So, and my dad traveled so much for business. So when he would come home after a business trip, I do remember a lot of fighting between my parents around money and decisions and what my parents were making. So that's like my childhood upbringing. And it was also one of the biggest things that has influenced me to this day. And I didn't quite realize it until about a couple of years ago, but our neighbor was a foot doctor. So he's a podiatrist, I think it's what it's called. but he works on feet. But he only worked like 3 or 4 days a week. And the rest of the week he was out, you know, he was doing surgeries and then seeing patients and all that stuff during that time. And the rest of the days he was like on his boat because he loved to fish. And I was, and my dad used to give him like a bunch of crap for it, like to just, you know, kid him about it. He's like, oh, off to another day of fishing. But I started, and then I had another neighbor who basically retired at 40 because he sold a medical device company. And so in early on, I was like, I didn't quite understand it then, but I was like, what are these guys doing? You know, I'm like, what are these two families doing? How are they building it? And I would just operate. And then I realized what I was taught was like hard work. And then you basically get paid for it. So that was like a lot of my upbringing. And that's exactly how I ran my life. Like I've had a job since I was in sixth grade. I had a paper route for 6 years and I've been working nonstop. During college, I had 2 or 3 jobs at a time. And so I was always able to make money, but I was also spending a tremendous amount of money. My brother and my sister have taken on my mother's habit of saving, and I took on my father's habit of tremendous spending.
There's always one that takes on that habit.
It's a really good, right? So I was really, really good at that. And still to this day, really good at spending. So it's like, that's not a great skill set to be really, really good at for the most part. And so, but I've recognized that, and my wife has the same thing. So we actually have the same type of money mentality and money spending and habits. So we have to set systems up for ourselves. So in 2012, Kate and I were, you know, we did a 10-month road trip together. That was really our first date. We started working together in that time. And we just had to get really clear on a financial picture for both of us. And she was doing that with herself. And I was doing that myself. And that literally required me to lay out all of my credit cards. What are my interest rates? How many do I have? What are the balances on all of those? What are my student loans? On how many student loan packages do I have? What are the interest rates on that? How much is there? How long? What's the balances? All of this stuff. And that happened in 2012. And then it was like, okay, we start knocking down little by little. And when I added it all up, it was about $127,000 worth of, wow. This is US dollars, worth of debt. And I was just like, okay, I had $83,000 in student loans and I had another 30 grand plus on credit cards. And that came from investment in my future. Some of that came from my MBA, my graduate. Some of it was still leftover money from the bar of now, not the bar exam for lawyers. It was the bar buying alcohol in college.
Yeah.
Some of that was land that I purchased in Arizona that I thought would be an investment, stock classes that I thought would be an investment in my future when I started my business. And I really wanted to do, like I made a tremendous amount of investment into doing something different because I ended up being laid off at that time. So I had a job at Philip Morris, the cigarette company. And I was a supervisor, a manager in the plant, and I was in charge of this line. So I was making $92,000 to $93,000 a year directly out of college. So it was great money, but I was also just racking up the debt. And that took place from 2009 to 2000. From 2006 to 2009. 2009, I started my business, and 2012 was kind of this epiphany of like getting our money squared away. And
what was the day that you woke up and said, this has got to stop?
It happened more with my partying habits than I would say a financial habit type thing. From the financial perspective, so when I laid everything out on a piece of paper, that's when I was like, I have to get this stuff in order. So I started paying down my debt. But then about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, so it's June of 2017 right now, we're recording this. And then what happened was in about, I'm going to say May of 2015 or so, maybe it was 2016. I don't know. It was like a year and a half ago, let's say. And Kate and I met with this financial planner who helped us automate all of our finances. Because what was happening in our business is we're making more money. Our taxes are getting increased. We're not preparing for taxes increased. And it was almost, we kept doubling our income. For 3 years in a row, we doubled our income. Well, when you double your income, your taxes also double. We didn't prepare for that. So we literally spent almost the entire first half of the year paying off all of the debt that we've racked up in the previous year. And I don't want to say debt in a bad way, not from the spending of how I ended up in the 130. This was business investment or business debt. Now I look at those as two different things. And so it took us almost 6 months to pay back and pay off all the outstanding taxes that we still owed, all outstanding credit cards. And what happened was about a year and a half ago, that's when that epiphany hit to be like, okay, we can do this. We just have to meet with somebody to help us put the system in place. And because of that, we're now able, like we dialed in every single week. We have money love dates for Kate and myself. And it was, and it's been great. Like we're about to buy a house and, you know, I know we talked about, you asked me before we called about, and I never answered your question about building a house, but we actually, it's a longer story, but now we're buying a house. So we move in about a month. It's still a brand new home, but it's pretty cool. So that was, and we ran our numbers for the down payment of this house. And we were just like, we have it. Like, how did that happen? Like, what did we do? Like, it's crazy. And we just made that happen. So the biggest epiphany when it came to the money is that I can still live the lifestyle that I want to live and still save the money and still give the money away in the same manner that I desire to do that. It's just about managing that and starting early. Cause a lot of, like I'm 34 and I would say I really started this when I was 32 or 33. But it's always been a concern of mine for a number of years. And it's just something that I've noticed. So I wouldn't say that there's one major thing.
Besides it's a series of events of
correct
increases in habits, actually.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. It was really, I mean, the major thing was getting clear on what my money story is. Yes. Where did that come from? What influenced that? And then also getting very clear on what my financial picture is.
Yeah,
because exactly. those two things are very, instead of putting a bunch of credit card bills or bills period or whatever that may be, or income statements for that matter, or checks. I know so many people that get checks mailed to them from, it's like income for them, and they stick it in a drawer and they find it like 3 years later, you know? So we always talk about money debt, but we don't talk about the money income. Exactly. And in making money is just as important, and understanding the money you're making is just as important as the debt.
Absolutely. So what is the biggest mistake you would say that you made that racked up that debt?
That is a very good question. It was unconscious spending. Like that's such a, it's really a vague answer, but it was not taking, it's not, this just goes to the money stuff, but also goes into life stuff. It's like not taking myself seriously that I can do it. And I noticed that I'm a new dad, right? About almost 2 years. Our daughter's almost 2 years old. And the one thing I can see about now hanging out in the parents' worlds is I watch parents, even at young ages, at two, like not give their kids strength or confidence that they can do it. And I think that was, now I'm not saying that's my parents' situation at all, because I was very independent, but I think for myself is to truly believe that I can figure this thing out and to do that. So, but then just the mistake was just like buying shit you don't need, excuse me, sorry, but just buying stuff we don't need. Like, do I need 35 pairs of pants?
Yeah,
exactly. No. Because I wear like probably two, right? So, and it came back to, I've really changed my mindset around, I'd say, so I'll talk about my mindset shifts. I think that'll start bringing out some of the mistakes. When it comes to clothes, for instance, like right now, one of the things that I'm investing a lot into is I'll spend more money on clothes that will last longer. Instead of getting 35 shirts, I'll get 5 shirts. And I'll just do laundry, you know, during the week. But they're much higher quality, but they're also going to last a lot longer, right? So that's just one instance of instead of having this massive wardrobe, because I'm not going to wear all of this stuff, it's like, what can I use that can be worn multiple times or whatever? So things like that, little things like that, DVDs, CDs. I used to be a big collector in DVDs and CDs, and it's just like now – why have those collections? Now I can Spotify everything. I can Apple Music everything. And it's like, there's always going to be an ability to listen to music that I desire to listen to. Now in the future, if I like going to records or vinyl or something like that, that's what it is. But it's just making those choices for myself. And
being even aware that there is a choice.
Yeah. There's not, I wouldn't say there was one thing that, like, I didn't have a clothes obsession or jewelry obsession, right? There's not like a big mistake there. But I would just say it was the, it's not looking at the daily financial picture.
Yes.
In the weekly financial picture. And now in our business, one thing that I've noticed, we've been running a lot of Facebook ads and driving it to a webinar. And the one thing that I've noticed until recently, until like literally 5 days ago, is that I've been trying to have everyone else kind of maintain that and watch it. But now literally every day I go in and say, I spent this much ads and this is how much income came in. Like, I'm getting that specific every day that I have to do those numbers. So I'm able to, because it makes me feel better. And yeah, it's also one of the greatest, I would say, instead of a mistake, it would be one of the greatest things that we've done for Kate and I as a partnership together, is we have money dates on Wednesdays and we talk about it and we're openly communicated. Like, both of us are very clear on what's happening in our life every single week. And I know each couple's different, or if you're, you know, however someone runs their money, is in charge of their money. But we, she knows how much money we make. I know how much money we make. She knows how much money we spend. I know how much, like, we're very clear and equal on both of that. And like my sister and her husband, they each like have a dual pot, right? So they each make their own income and they keep their financial stuff separately, but then they contribute to like the monthly expenses each month together. And that works for them. You know, that's not going to work for Kate and I. We have to be, we're either like all in or we're out. You know, so it's one of those things where
I do feel that one of the things that I work with relationships as well, and specifically around money in my own relationships, I've noticed that getting the money stuff out of the way actually gets your intimacy way up. So really being able to talk about it and then do it in the way that you want to, but not having it as a block, really helps in the relationship as well.
Oh my God, it's massive. Yeah, 100%. Because you think about like, I mean, I can't speak for a woman, but like if I think about myself, I know it can go both ways, but it's like if I don't know how much money I have in the bank, like how out of power do we feel? Yeah. You know, it's like if I'm relying on my husband or my wife for everything, like we're not in power of our own life. Like, and we don't feel taken care of on that. And it's the other person's trying to control a situation. That's what I hear a lot of that. Not so much anymore, but from the stories of working with clients that we've worked with, where the wife is, you know, the husband would be the work and the wife stays at home with the kids and she doesn't have a clue what's going on from the financial picture. You know, and she doesn't feel empowered in that situation, or the husband's like super controlling, and like, that's not good for anybody.
No, absolutely.
It's not good at all. But yeah, I would say as soon as you get that money stuff cleared away, where it's, you're at a place where people can talk about it, because it's so emotional. It's such an emotional topic because we all come from different stories. Like, you know, like Kate's dad came from a lot of really, there's a lot, tremendous wealth in her dad's side of the family. He was like the inventor of the aluminum formula for Alcoa aluminum that basically has been everywhere. So it's like her great, great, great grandfather. Like, we don't know the whole thing, but there's massive drama that happens when it comes to money or just unspoken things. It's weird, right? And then like my parents didn't come from a lot, you know? And so there's weirdness there too. And I think we're at a place right now that we can start breaking down those walls of the weirdness around money. And it's that place we can move forward with, because it's like, it's breaking the patriarchy of in so many ways, in so many things.
When we talked about money harmony in the beginning, you started laughing. So what is money harmony to you? When would you say I'd have money harmony?
Yeah. So I would just, to feedback off that, I'm talking about, because of my old story that I have been carrying around, I still tell myself that story exists. And the reality is it doesn't, right? So it's like, I've made more money in the last 2 years than I could ever, you know, not that I ever thought about. Like, it's just, it's been fantastic. But then I also feel like it's all going to go away, or I feel like it's going to disappear, or I feel like there's not enough in the bank, or I feel there's not enough coming in, right? Yes. So it's lack mentality hits in real. So for me to kind of joke around feeling money harmony, I don't actually feel that yet.
No, and it's, exactly.
Right? It's a story that I'm from a abundance standpoint, and that our business is taken care of, our financial life is taken care of, we can pay the mortgage, we can get $6, $5 blueberry pints at the grocery store, like, and we don't really have to think about that too much. It's something that Kate looks at me all the time, because Kate's mentality is like, there's just more where that came from. Like, whatever, $10,000 for this or $5,000, like, whatever, we can just make more. And it's 100% true. We can always make more. But for me, when I look at the bottom line and those numbers to say, like, okay, if there's $10,000 in the bank, and it's a little stressful at that moment in time. But the reality is, like, that's not what it's going to be like tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to change to something else. And so that's what I say. That's kind of what I was joking around when money harmony. So to answer your question about, like, what does it feel like if I picture money harmony right now myself, like, it's just me looking at our numbers and being comfortable, I guess I could say, is like, and I don't mean it from a relaxed position, but just from the say, like, okay, it's all there. It's all getting taken care of. And that is, I'm not actually at a place yet. Maybe after this call, that's helping me out. And it is, because I'm talking about it. Usually when I bring things to the surface, it's ready to move on. But, like, basically, it's from the place of, like, it's time for to look at all that stuff and say, great, it's all taken care of. You know, it's like, it's all going to be good. And I'm really, like, us buying this house that we're buying, it's really pushing my comfort level, because it's something, when we first started looking at a house, it's about $200,000 more than we wanted to spend.
Okay.
But it's not, we can still pay for it, right? So it's like, what we have going on, we can still pay for it. So it's great, the fact that we could actually, we're going to live in this house. And it's, not a place of, so it's me just recognizing where we really are and truthfully are. And it's not, this is not an unconscious spending habit thing.
That's the whole difference, isn't it?
Correct.
And I love that you're saying you're not there yet. Well, I think that nobody is at the place of money harmony before you're enlightened, but somehow there is this kind of awareness that you have that you're on a journey and you want to be there, and you're aware that it's you that has to change and it's not the money that's going to save your life.
Oh, 100%. Like, I relate almost everything back to Kate being pregnant and birth and having a child now. Like, that's how I phrase almost everything back to life now, where it's like that process takes 10 months, right? Before she's pregnant, and then she has to really grow the baby, and then she has to give birth, and then the real, like, that's all great, that's 10 months, but the real journey as well starts when the baby's born, because, wow, like, there's a lot that's, and for me, because I don't do anything for those 10 months besides, like, you know, whatever Kate needs me to do. And then I don't, you know, I just support her during the birth process while she was giving birth, like, but, like, there's not, like, physically, I'm not doing anything, right?
No.
So, now the real journey for me starts when that baby comes into the world, and then I take care of Penelope now, you know, and as we raise our child. And I just really relate everything to patience and time, and we are on a journey regardless of what it is. Like, Kate and I had a kind of a rocky part in our, like, just our relationship from the last year, from like July to really February, March timeframe. But it was really, the reason it was rocky, because I was on a huge journey myself.
Yeah.
And it created a little bit uneasiness, but she also had some stuff to work through, and I did too. And I know we're going to get all taken care of. It's just giving itself some space. And in the moment, it seems like it's the worst possible thing ever, and it's the world's going to end.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, if I give myself a week, we'll be okay. You know,
I always think that those rocky moments point you to where you need to look.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
If you use them as a compass, then they're golden moments, but you need to be able to do that. And that's why I like you and Kate so much, because you're willing to look at those.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, yeah, it's really easy to say that, but then you also have enough self-awareness to actually stop and really take a inside look at what's going on in your life. And I think that's where we lose it, where we, you know, Daniel Laporte just wrote a book called White Hot Truth.
Yeah.
I'm not sure for those listeners who might know her, she's a great writer and speaker and stuff out of Vancouver, Canada. But that's what her journey was. Her journey was about spending decades spending all this money and all this time researching out to all the next mentor, the next quote unquote guru to help her and get to the fight, this enlightened place and what we're searching for and all this stuff. And the reality was she did this whole journey and she wrote the whole book about like, oh, I have to take care of this stuff myself. Like you can't go fund this stuff out. Now you can get help.
Yeah.
And the help only is beneficial if you're ready to do the work. You know, and that's the key is like, we all have our work to do, whether that is, you know, like Kevin Hart, who grew up in the ghetto in Philadelphia, or like me, who grew up in a middle-class neighborhood in Indiana, you know, it's like,
absolutely.
So we all have some sort of work to do. It's going to be different, but yeah, for us to really recognize like, oh, I'm going through something right now. Like it's going to take a little bit of time and just hang in there. And then I found, you know, what helps for me is to find something else, maybe like CrossFit, like that's the big workout program that I'm doing now. And it was something that I've always desired to do, or let's see, it's something I've avoided to doing for 3 to 4 years. Yeah. And then when I hit this kind of rocky part in our relationship, I actually picked up going to CrossFit. And it kind of kept me grounded to a certain degree. It was kind of weird when I really look back at the last year, that's exactly what's happened. It's like, okay, do something for myself that's going to fulfill me. And this other stuff will play out over the course of the next year.
I love that. Because often it really is just taking your own space and taking care of your own thing. Yeah. And then specifically when you just have a baby and when you just turn father, somehow, what I like about that is my money story actually changed when I became a mother, because before that, I never had a problem earning a lot of money. And then the minute I got pregnant, everything changed. And years later, I realized that I stepped into a new money story. It was a totally different belief system that I stepped into. And that goes for my whole environment changed. The people I hang out with now are different people than they were before I got pregnant. Everything changes. And that has to bring about a change in your relationship. It has to.
For sure. Yeah, it was interesting about having Penelope. I had a lot of friends. We all had like a bunch of guy friends had kids that were all around at the same time. And I would talk to a lot of them and they're like, I'm so motivated to like provide and do all of this stuff for our family. And I didn't feel that at all. It was really weird. Like I don't feel it at all. I still don't feel it to this day. What I feel more so is like getting a home that we can grow up into. So that kind of, that ties into financial harmony, as you say.
Yeah.
Or financial stability, it's like having a place, but I feel more of it of like what we're creating versus like this is the desire to put Kate and Penelope in a place. And I do feel that, but I also didn't feel this like burning desire to work more, make more money when Penelope was born. Like for me, it was about spending more time with her. And still to this day, I love spending time with her. Like she's with her, she does daycare half the week, and we have a nanny that comes another day. Or day and a half of the week, just because of the situation we got going on over here. But it's not like I need to spend all day with her. And what's been interesting, and I think a lot of that came about because a lot of the work was taken care of and we had consistent income because of the business that we're a part of together.
Yeah.
Suze, you and I and Kate, and because that was consistently coming in after Penelope was born, that I already spent 7 years building that, 6 years building that beforehand. And so I wasn't in a panic. You know, there wasn't, the debt was paid off. And like with all the credit card debt and student loan debt, I told Kate when we laid it all out in 2012, I was like, I'm just going to pay all this off at one time. And literally one day we had a huge month of a product launch and I literally sent $84,354 to Sallie Mae in one day.
Yeah.
And I literally had seven loans with Sallie Mae, who's the student loan provider here in the United States. And I literally sat at the computer and paid it all off by myself. And I was in my towel in our living room because I just got out of the shower and I'm like, well, I'm going to go do this now. And I went to do it. Nobody else was home. There wasn't there. And I just literally, the bank money got transferred and I was like, boom, done. And
you were very motivated to making time for your family, not to provide for them, but to be there for them.
Right. Because time is more valuable than anything else in the world. Like money is such a, money, you can always make more. You're going to go to a different country. Like we're about to go to London. The dollar will be worth less, or I don't know what the situation will be then with all the stuff going on there. But like basically the euro, I get less for what you can get for the dollar here, right? And like no matter what country you go to, whether it's Australia, whether you go to Japan, there's differences in the currencies. There's differences in the money situation. Like money is just a thing. It's like clothes, right? It's like food I eat.
It's just a tool.
It's a tool, right? But the time, when I realized time, and I really realized this when I was working at Philip Morris, because all of these, my employees who were working for me, were 60, 50, 45, 50, 60 years old. And they like worked 12 to 14 hours a day. Wow. And they would see their kids like very little. And even I have one of my best men in my wedding that stood up with me, and one of my best friends from college, he like barely the first 3 to 5 years of his daughter's life, like really barely saw her. And I was just like, that's not the life that I desire to live. And so I really was conscious in setting my life up in a way, or really doing the freaking work to be able to set my life up in a way that allows Kate and I to spend a lot of time together, as well as run a business together, as well as spend a lot of time with Penelope.
And that's just turning over habit after habit after habit after habit, and just going for the 1% improvement a day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, what if our listeners say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. I mean, that, and it is, both of us know, it's a lot of work. But what is possible if you do that work, if you go that journey, if you start walking it?
What type of work? Like, what are you referring to?
The inner work and the changing your habits.
When it comes to the money journey, it's really not a lot of work. It's really getting clear on what your situation is. Like, just start with like, what story have you been told about money? And you can write that on a piece of paper. And that's super easy to get clear on it. And then it's not judging yourself for it, to be like, oh, this is my belief, right? And you know, I have a business in the network marketing industry, and one of the things that people come in with a preconception sometimes in network marketing, and they come in here with this mindset of like, well, network marketing is not going to work for me. And I was just like, well, have you actually seen it work for somebody else? They're like, yeah, I see you and Kate have had success with it. It's like, okay, what's the difference between you, Kate, and myself and you? Yeah. Like, the reality is nothing. It's just time and experience, right? Yes. Kate's been doing this for 12 or 15, 16 years or something. And I've been doing this for 7. So that's really the only thing that's different around it. So when it comes to our money, it's the same type of situation. It's getting clear on what that money story is. And then also, what would you like it to be? And it can be different.
That's a beautiful question.
Yeah. Like, what is it you desire it to be? Because if I only make $50,000 a year, $20,000 a year, and I said only, I don't want to make that sound bad at all. That's awesome. I realize my word phrasing there. Like let me start over. You know, if I'm prospering with $50,000 a year, yeah, that's fantastic. You know, it's like, you can do a lot with that. Or if it's $30,000 a year, like just recognizing and acknowledging the fact that you've built something or created an income. And you might say, well, I have a job, Mike, somebody else pays me. It's like, nope, you put yourself out there to receive that type of income. And then also, like, how do you desire to be differently? You know, do you want to make a little bit more money? You're probably going to do something differently. So that's the money story. But then for the inner work game, the inner work stuff, for men, it's like, especially here in the United States, and especially with who's running the country right now, with these idiots, it's like, sorry, but I could go on a rant on this.
I think most of our listeners are totally with you.
Yeah, because Europe's got its own situation going on. But like, it's damaged, right? It's damaged masculine energy that we're experiencing right now in the country. And we all have it. Like, we all have been hurt in some point in time in our life. Somebody has told us no. And Kate and I literally just got told no about something that we strongly believe in yesterday at her kid's daycare. Okay. And we're making it work for the way we want to be able to make it work. But it's just like understanding that we've all been turned down. And for ourselves, it's like, if I don't feel in power in my own body or in my own self,
Yeah.
You know, it's like we went to see Wonder Woman this weekend. Like if I don't feel like Wonder Woman in the morning, when I get up in the morning, something's going on, or like in the day or what that would be, it might help to get some assistance someplace else. And I think a lot of times we get really stuck in our own journey. And so just getting some help, like I've talked to this therapist guy that's helped me so much. I've talked to quite a few people. Like I have some really good friends that we talk about a lot of life challenges and life events going on. And just reaching out for that support, because I feel that is, it's almost the social media thing, like the world we live in today with the internet, et cetera, where we think we know what's going on in people's lives, but really we have no idea.
You have no idea. Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, just because, and I see it in the younger generation too, but also like people really get on the generation Y and generation X and all the generations Z and the younger kids a lot about computers and all that stuff. But like, some of the most disconnected, unconnected folks are like the baby boomer generation, yeah, and people that are older than the folks that have dealt with social media their entire life. Because kids now are more connected. They're communicating way more than like my parents ever did when they were my age, right? When my parents were 34 years old, like they were working a ton in a very small environment with the same people. But now I'm 34. I still talk to people I went to high school with. Maybe I haven't seen them in 15 years, but like we're still communicating every single day on the internet. So we are actually more connected than we've ever been before. But also that doesn't help us when we need to work on our certain things that we have going on in our life. So it's only overwhelming if we make it overwhelming. If we break it down into smaller chunks and be able to say, okay, well, this book might be helpful or this event might be helpful. And just go to the self-help section, your local bookstore, and literally just walk through the aisles and you might see something that pops out on you. And if it pops out, pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this happened to me the other day. This is not about, but it was about the trauma of circumcision.
Wow. Yeah.
I was at Kate's mom's office and she's a OBGYN and she has this book and I picked it up. And I was like, because it's a very big thing here in the States to circumcise little boys. And I was like, who thinks this is a good idea? Like, it's like somebody come up to me and be like, let me cut a little piece of skin off your male member. I don't know how, you know, graphic we want to get here. But it's basically like at 34 years old, I'd be like, you're crazy. Like, so we think it's okay to do it. And I'm like, think about the trauma that goes on when that happens at a kid that's like 6 months old or whatever, however old they are. So this book just popped out in my face. So I'm reading it now to like learn about this stuff. And so it's the same thing with like maybe a journey that we're on ourselves, which I'm on a big journey right now about like this masculine piece. Like, why is it that all of a sudden we have people who are so disconnected running the world? Like if you take, you know, the woman in France that just got shot down in her election, same thing that was going on in the Netherlands, I think just had that guy. Absolutely. And with Trump here in the United States, like why is it that we are so disconnected and how did we get here? And that's really the journey that I'm on now as a guy.
What is our task in that?
Correct.
I tend to think, okay, so what is it asking from me? What do I need to do? Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say it's not like anything of value requires work. Like if I want to be a good dad, I got to freaking show up. Like, and that's hard. Like every day to show up to a human being who is 20 months old, running around up at 4:30 this morning. I don't know why, you know, up for the day at 5 a.m. At 5 a.m. I don't want to be chasing around a little person. Like who wants to do that? That's not fun, you know, right when you get out of bed. Like my waking up this morning was my daughter screaming in her room and I go in there and Kate's like, I'm gonna go back to bed. I'm like, great. So I go downstairs and then I'm like doing laundry at 5 a.m. and I have this child that like is crying and falling over and crying and all this stuff. And I'm just like, this isn't fun. Like this is not exciting. Like who wants to be doing this? But it's the reality is like we can turn that around and be like, okay, that could be fun. Like going to a movie and sitting watching a movie is very fun to me. It's part of my joy, right? But like, so it's like looking at that situation of our life and just say, okay, well, I got to deal with it. I got to show up. Penelope maybe will appreciate it. Maybe not. She will when she eats food. And then she like got some food and went away for 45 minutes and played by herself. And I was just like, oh, okay. And it gave me 45 minutes to myself and it created that joy. But anything of value requires work. And it doesn't have to be hard. We don't have to, we can get out of the whole hustle thing, like 24/7, 365. Yeah. It's really about listening. It's becoming more aware of who we are as a human being, because who Suze is not who Mike Watts is, right? Wow. Who you are as the listener is not who Mike Watts is. So it's for you to really start understanding who we are as a person. And the more self-aware we are with our own self and how, what makes us tick, what gets us excited. Cause with Penelope right now, like she won't let Kate put her down. So literally she will be, Kate will try to put her down for sleep and she will scream like Kate's hitting her or something. Like it's out of control. It's so loud. And if anybody was outside, they'd be like, what is going on inside that house? Like it is out of control. And she'll just scream and she'll be like, daddy, 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 so loud. Like that's exhausting. Like I have to, I'm up with her in the morning at 5 a.m. I go to bed with her every night. Like, and I know single parents do this all the time, so I'll give you mad props, but like,
yeah,
that is, it's exhausting for me. So it's like about once a month, every month and a half, I'd be like, I need a day off. Like I have to go away. Like I literally go stay in a hotel 20 minutes away from our house just to have a night off. But I know I need that for myself to recharge. And Kate's cool with that. Kate, you know, we talk about this several times. She's like, okay, great.
All parents need that.
Yeah.
I always have this saying, and it's, there is every single parent in the world has had this split second in which you would love to kill your kid. And I don't mean that you would actually do it, because both of us would never do this, but the thought has occurred to every single parent. And I really like to be honest about that and to talk about those things and to talk.
Yeah. In the Wonder Woman movie, have you seen it yet? Did you go see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God. Go see it. Take your daughter.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned something in there that says we all have good and bad inside of us. Yes. And it's just a matter of which one we live with.
Yeah.
And it's which one they trigger. And they said that in the movie, and it's so true, because we all have the ability to be really bad and we all have the ability to be a great human being. And it's which one of those we decide we want to live with. And to let it, you know, run that course. And I know for myself, you know, for what makes me happier as a person. Hold on, sorry about that. What makes me happier as a person is continuous progress and growth. Yes. You know, and it's as I continually grow as a human being. I mean, that definition came from Tony Robbins. I didn't invent it. Like he says, progress plus growth equals happiness. So as I'm continually becoming a better person, and you know, one day the end result, I'm going to die. Like I already know that. I'm very clear. One day I will die. So I don't hide from it. I have no problem talking about it. Like it'll be sad when that day happens. You know, I know one day Kate and Penelope are going to die. Like whether that happens before me, whether that happens after me, I have no idea, you know, and none of us actually do. So it's just living with my life that says like, I'm here for, let's say 50 years or whatever, 100 years, 102 is actually when I said I was going to die. That's my thing that I have. So I'm going to live till I'm 102 years old and then I'm going to die. So why not do the best possible thing I can do up until then? And if I'm going to let the story of that, my dad did this or my mom did this, I am 34 years old. Like, I think it was somebody that said, I don't know who said this, but they said, you can't use an excuse of your parents or your neighbors or your aunt and uncle after the age of your 18. Like if you move out of the house when you're 18 years old, those whole stories have to be fixed and stopped. Yeah. Right. So like I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
And I have to take responsibility for my own life and my own actions. And if there's something that like my mom did that I have not processed, or my brother or my sister, and that is really what's created a lot more easement in my life, mm-hmm. is just really kind of letting go of my old stories that I used to tell myself and that don't allow me to get ahead. And that is what a lot of our work is actually holding us back. It's the fear of like what my mom's going to think or the fear of what my dad's going to think.
Absolutely. You know? Whether it be about money or kids, because some of our listeners might be thinking, what does this have to do with money? Well, everything, because it's the exact same pattern. We talked about that.
Yeah. Money is just one of the things. Like you could put food in there. You can put money. You could put, there's so many things you could fit for money in there, but it's like, I know it started for me with money. Like it really did. It started with, excuse me, sorry about that. But as soon as I got clear on what my money journey was, that picture, the story I was telling myself, as you said, with relationships earlier, it's like, that is how the thing started to get clear, because I started to recognize it. And it also, like, what is causing the most stress in our life? If money is causing the most stress in our life, which it was for me at that time, yeah, that's probably the first thing we need to work on. And if it's like our relationships causing the most stress, like why is our relationship causing stress? It might be linked back to money, or it might be like, I'm not in power in my own relationship, you know, or I don't have the power to stick up, or I'm very, very passive with it. So
could be a lot of things. Yeah. So this is amazing to hear this. I think it's very inspiring for people. And what I always like is, okay, so now you've been listening to Mike and me talk for 45 minutes, and you might be having a lot of golden nuggets, but then for me, I've been reading books all my life. I'm 42. And I think that until I was 28 or 30, something like that, I just read them and I didn't do anything with them. And then at that age, I started to think, wow, I've read all these books. Why is my life not changing? And then all of a sudden I realized, because I'm not taking action. And what action would you say our listeners could take immediately after listening to this? The minute they press stop.
Number one is like, what's causing the most stress in your life? It's just really get clear on that. And sometime that, if you have a business, it might be an employee. You know, we've just went through massive transformation in our business in the last 3 weeks, and it has caused a lot of stress on me, and I've been very overwhelmed with it. But now that transition's done, and we're moving into the next realm of like really making the work happen. And so it's a little bit easier and more relaxing. So maybe it's money. If it's money, then my wife wrote a great book, self plug here, Money, a Love Story by Kate Northrup, and it's phenomenal. And you can get it over there in Netherlands or wherever you're listening.
Changed my life. It was the first book on money I read.
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. That she wrote a fantastic book on this about, there's a bunch of exercises in there that will help you go through it as well. And you can hear her journey through that. But also just saying, like, but the exercise you're going to have you do is what I've already talked about on here, is like, what is your money story? Like, there's a whole chapter on it for you to help you and get clear on what that is, and to really, so it's like, it's really recognizing what is causing the most stress in your life at this moment in time, and realizing you have to do something about that. Yes. Or I should say, you get to do something about it, not you have to. So I've been trying to change my verbiage, or is that verb? Is it a verb? I don't know. But my right wording, like, I don't know, verb, nouns, I don't know. I was an engineer, so English is not my thing. But basically, like, instead of I have to do it, like I have to pick up my kids. No, I get to do that. I get to pick up Penelope. I get to play with Penelope, because it's a
huge difference. It's a
privilege, huge difference. So you get to make these changes. Like, this is an opportunity for that. And so I would just find out, what is the most stressful thing happening in your life right now? And what are 1 to 2, 3 things that you can actually do to make those changes? Yeah. And it might be like, having a sit down. Maybe it's the fact, I heard a buddy of mine tell me this a long time ago. It was really cool. And this kind of goes into, he was trying to eat healthier, and he would put like a cup of fruit at the front of the refrigerator. But then his wife, when she would open it, would always move it to the back or whatever, or like wanted, you know, how it always end up in the back. So he literally said, it was like, okay, like I'm trying to eat healthier, and the first thing I want to see is like this. And he just talked to her about it. It was just like, hey, is that cool? She's like, sure, no problem. And so since that day, that's, you know, it's just been, it's that simple. Like, it's something.
I love it. It's that simple. And we can make up this whole story about, it's so difficult, it's so difficult, but it can be that simple.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say it is. It's, we can study as much as we want. Yeah. We know when we should stop studying. Like, our little lizard brain, as they talk about it, which was the lizard brain that it's set by Seth Godin talks about it, but they also call it your, amygdala, is that right? I don't know if that's right, but I just call it the lizard brain. Basically, it's a brain that says we shouldn't do that, or stop doing that, or you're too successful, or that's a self-talk. But it's also the one that will say, like, okay, take action now. Like, it's also the one that's going to give you those highlights to say, do this now, you know? And when I shared my CrossFit experience earlier today, but it's the same thing with me. Like, I actually went to the CrossFit like championships. They're called the CrossFit Games last year. I've never took one CrossFit class. I've never been inside of a CrossFit gym, but I told Kate, I was like, I need to go here and see what the professionals are doing. It's like me never playing basketball whatsoever and then going to the NBA finals or going to the Super Bowl. And just, that's what I, that was what it was like. And I called it, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And I just, you know, emailed the gym in my local area and I was like, okay, what do I need to do? And it was at that moment, I was like, okay, I'm ready to do this. So we know when it's time to do it. It's just, we have to really listen to that. We have to value ourselves that we're paying enough attention to our own self to do the action that our own body is telling us to do.
Absolutely. I totally agree. If you just have the courage to say yes at those moments, your life will change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The book's also available on Audible now, or any place to get an audio book. Just, I've remembered that. So.
Oh, great. I'll put the link down below in this,
Cool.
In this recording. Yeah. So thank you very much, Mike. This is very inspiring. And next week there will be a new money interview. So please stay tuned and listen to them all because they're all very different and very, very, very valuable and very great insights.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.